Hallelujah. Come on, let's give Jesus a big hand tonight. Praise the Here. Hallelujah. It's Sunday night and we're in the house of God. Come on, I want us to praise Him one more time. Goeienaand, baie welkom, Dumelang. Good to see so many of you in God's house. Oh, come on, is this a revival church? Hallelujah. Come on, we haven't come to a funeral. Amen. Amen. Come on. Good evening. Welcome, everybody. Yes, there's no link right this evening. Your pastor is here. So, praise God. Welcome to every one of you here tonight. If it's your first time, you are so welcome. Can we put our hands together? Welcome. Come on. Look at all these students, man. Come on. That's amazing. If it's your first time here, we want to welcome you. God bless you. Thank you for being with us here tonight. If it's your second time, if it's your third time, if it's your fourth time, welcome. We know God has a plan with your life and you're not here by accident this evening. God has orchestrated divine appointments and meetings. So I want to ask you to please, before you take your seat, shake the hand of two or three people. Go to somebody and just make them feel welcome. Give them a high five. And you may be seated with us in the house of God tonight. So, Pastor, why aren't we linking tonight? I'm going to share with you the message that we received from Pastor Art. He spoke with us about it. It's been coming for quite some time. But let me just share with you why. Your pastor is up here tonight and we're not linking after years and years and years. So, Pastor Art's message to COC Kimberley and all the other churches. It's not only us that's not linking. All the COC churches this evening are preaching. The pastors are in their pulpits. Pastor Art says, I believe it is best for every church to take responsibility from now on forward for the evening services. This will serve a twofold purpose for Christian Revival Church. Number one, for the senior pastors to flow in the spirit that God wants the church to flow, specifically in the dimension that God is moving them. And secondly, to allow new leaders, new men and women of God to be raised up in every church to develop the gifts that are inside of them. Every first Sunday of the month, churches will link to COC Pretoria. And we're thankful for that, to make sure that we are still part of the vision, that no church is just going in its own direction. So we will link on the first Sunday every month with Pastor Art. And we're excited about that. I mean, it's tough for me as well because, you know, for years and years, I've been brought up in COC. You may say, Pastor, you gray-bearded man. I still feel like a child. I feel like a 19-year-old. Yes. So, but we're excited to see God raising up new people. Pastor says, this is for the benefit and the health and the very future of Christian Revival Church as a move for us to do this. And we will be commencing this from the very first, from this coming Sunday. God bless. Amen. Come on, let's give God a hand for our pastor. So young people, that's all of you, 85 years and younger. We are excited about the future. How many of you are excited about the future? How many of you believe God has a bright future for you? Come on, bump your neighbor, say he's talking to you. The pastor's preaching to you tonight. Come on. How many of you can see this place filled on a Sunday night? We see this place full. 600, 700, 800, 900, 1,000, 1,100 people. Senior leader, I want you to understand something. This is very important. A pastor can be on a pulpit here and he can preach and scream his guts out. But if the congregation is looking and staring as if to say, move me, Pastor. What are you trying to say? The pastor can only do as much as what the congregation pulls and desires and agrees. If you're excited, if you believe God is going to touch you tonight, God will touch you. If you're hungry, if you're sitting on the edge of your seat, God can knock you off your chair. But if you sit there cold-hearted like you don't want to be here, why am I wasting my time here? Then rather change that attitude. Have an attitude of expectation. We always say our expectation is God's invitation into our lives. Amen. So don't come to church on a Sunday dragging your feet in the evening service. Come expectant. Come excited. Come happy. Trusting God to speak with you, because one word can change your life. Yes, amen. So are you ready for the word tonight? Five of you. Are you ready for the word tonight? One more time. Are you ready for the word tonight? Pastor, why do you make us shout? Have you ever heard somebody say amen? Amen. It means so be it. Extem sametyo. You activate faith. You place a demand. There was a woman in the Bible. She had a blood issue. She came walking. Jesus came to town and she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And so there's a big crowd. There's a lot of believers. There's a lot of people. They're excited about Jesus. Everybody's touching him. But there was one woman who touched him differently. There was one person who made a big difference. Her faith started to rise. She had a blood issue. She actually wasn't allowed to be around. If you study the culture of the day, she shouldn't have been allowed there. But she risked it all. And she stepped out. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And so what happened is, she pushed through the crowd and she touched his hem. And Jesus said, who touched me? What was he saying? Something left me. Somebody placed a demand. Somebody was hungry enough to get Jesus' attention. Somebody took a risk. Somebody got out of their boat, their comfort zone, and said, God, I'm not leaving this place until you change me, until you speak to me. Don't come to church with a critical, cynical, judgmental, passive, neutral, lukewarm spirit of faith. Faith is operative where people are excited, where people are hungry for God to move. So a Sunday night cannot just be only a place of we're just chilling. We have to come expectant. You have to wait on the Lord. You know what wait on the Lord means? Doesn't mean you're sitting down and you waiting. I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. No, it's like a waiter. You know a waiter when you're in a restaurant and they've got the plate here, the bandera. What do you call it? The tray. They're waiting to serve you. The waiter's watching. The guy's cool drink is finished. Or they're waiting for you to put their food in your mouth so they can ask you, how's the meal? They're waiting. You put the food in your mouth, say, how's it going? Moving on. That's what we do with God. We're waiting. We wait on the Lord, which means we're waiting to serve. We are anticipating. Bump your neighbor, say anticipation. So listen, family. Listen, this is important. This is God speaking to us as a church, that we must become more hungry. We must become more excited. We must become more passionate. We must start believing God for big things. How many of you believe that with God, all things are possible? All things are possible. Just think about something. What can you trust God for? What are you believing God for? Many of us, you're not even believing God for something. The Bible says, but for man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Alle dinge, all things. So let me share with you tonight the short message, because we're not going to be long. If you have your Bibles, you can listen. The title of my message this evening is, God is calling. You know that? God is calling. Okay, bump your neighbor, say, God is calling. Let's try that again. Okay, the phone is working, it's not working. God is calling. Hello? 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 Hello, who's speaking? Is it you, God? Lord, I've answered the call. Some of you got a missed call. Answer the call. God is calling. Don't be that guy. Are you that person when somebody calls you, you just... No, I'm not risked to call him. I'm not going to answer. You see the phone ringing, you're like, leave it. Are you that person? Answer the call. Answer the call. God is dialing your number. God's got your number. calling you? Will you answer the call? You say, what call? We can look at that this evening. God is sending out a call for anyone who will pick up an answer. The need is the call. The need is the call. The battle is the call. The challenge is the call. The thing that's irritating you is the call. So, if you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. The Bible says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying. Or you can say the Lord, the voice of the Lord calling. God is calling. A lot of people are walking around with missed calls in their pockets. Your phone is ringing. Your cell phone is ringing. The WhatsApp phone call is ringing. God is calling you. A lot of people are going through life. They're so distracted with everything else. Like Pastor Andries preached this morning. You have to be mission-minded. When the general calls, you take the call. You say, excuse me, I have to take this call. There's certain phone calls you have to take. You'll see when you married young people, your wife calls. You learn very quickly to take the call. You smarten up very quickly. Excuse me, I need to take this call. This is my wife. It's a very important call. Hello, my love. Yes, you can buy eggs, please. Thank you. It's not about the eggs. It's about the fact that if your wife calls, you answer. You take the call. Now, there's even someone more important. This phone call that you must answer. And this era, it's God. And I want to tell you, God will come to you. There's a person in the Bible that he was a young boy. He was a boy. His name was Samuel. And the Lord called him Samuel. And he got up and he thought it was Eli. And he went to the person and he said, Yaram, he said, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. So he went back to sleep and the God called him again. He said, Samuel. The call came. And he thankfully got out of bed. Sometimes God is calling you early hours of the morning. Early hours. He's calling you. God roep vir jou. God is calling you. But now you sleep or you override. You press the, you know what? The snooze button is from hell. Just think about it. What benefit has the snooze button given any man or any woman? It's just made you late and lazy. God calls Samuel a third time. And he goes and Eli realizes, all of a sudden he realizes, oh my word, God is busy speaking to this young boy. And what does he say? He said, Samuel, next time you hear the call, say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Speak to me. Simple prayer. Come on, say it with me. Say, here I am. Speak to me. It's a simple prayer. Like you speak to your parents. Like you speak to your friends. It's a two-way conversation. God wants to speak, but the question is, will you take the call? Or are you going to override it and sleep longer? Or are you too busy? God is calling. God needs you now. It's an urgent hour. There was a time every Sunday night we would listen to you. We would listen to Pastor Art and he would say, God is raising up the greatest generation that has ever been born alive. It's a super generation. I would hear it as a young person. I would say, God, here I am, use me. Here I am, Lord, use me. I might not have much, but use me. Take the call. Eli quickly sends him back and say, now God is going to speak to you. It's not me calling you. It's not your mama calling you. It's not your dad calling you. It's not your friend. It's God calling you. God is calling people today. He's calling you. I can't stop saying it. He's calling you. But many times, just like we get so busy. No, I can't. I need to go and do this. I need to go and do that. Sorry, God, I don't have time for you now. Can't take this call now. There's certain important phone calls that you need to take. The president or the lotto, and you've won a million rand, and they're phoning you, you're going to take the call. If it's somebody important in your life, you'll take the call. God is calling us. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? Are we going to take the call? God is calling and will you answer the call? And I'm going to talk about that. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8, the Bible says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying,
the voice of God calling. Whom shall I send? It's a question. God calls them and he doesn't say, hi, how are you doing? He says, he immediately stopped. When God speaks with you, he speaks to us in questions. When he went to Adam and Eve, he said, who told you you were naked? Who said you were naked? God answers questions. God starts conversations many times in the Bible with questions. Why? Because he knows the answer, but he wants you to know the answer. He wants you to think. He wants you to wake up and understand what is it that God is trying to get to us, speak to us. So he says, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit having a meeting, having a discussion about the man, about mankind. In the day of Isaiah, he was a prophet. I'm going to tell you there's no difference in 2026. God is still having this question. The phones are ringing crazy. I wonder what you'd all do if all of a sudden all of your cell phones began to ring. We'd all get a fright, right? God's calling every one of us. Every person here tonight. He's either calling you to Him, to know Him, to be born again. He's either calling you on a mission. He's trying to get your attention. He wants to speak with you because He loves you. Our God is a loving God. He's a relational God. He wants to speak with you. You'll see the older you get, the more time you want to chat with older people. They're wiser. They're smarter. Even the relationship with your dad. My dad's in heaven now. I wish I could take his call. I wish I could chat with my father. But I can't. He's no longer around. I appreciate the conversation with my mom. I appreciate my wife phoning me when I'm traveling. I appreciate it, chatting with my kids. How much more when God calls us, when God speaks to us. Let me tell you, there's a call that comes. And so many times we're so busy on Facebook. I mean, I watch the young people out there on their social media. They can do like tricks with their thumbs even. Be on 7 apps at the same time. A phone call comes through, they just drag them, do it. Just hang up quickly. God doesn't give us pocket dials, okay? God is an intentional God. He's going to phone you because He wants to speak with you. You say, hi God. No, sorry, wrong number. Sorry, it was a pocket dial. No, when God speaks to us, because He wants to get your attention. Your life matters. That there's a mission, like Pastor Andre shared this morning. There's a mission. God knew you before you were born. You're not in Kimberley by accident. You're not in this church by accident. You just happened to stumble here. We don't believe in evolution. Random chaos, random theory. You just evolved and now you're here. What must I do now? I don't know. So it's a lovely theory. It's the theory of evolution, but it's fake. It's false. You need more faith in that. You need to put more faith in that than believe that there's a creator, a master architect who spent time to design and then create the universe and then spoke it into existence and then formed you for a purpose. You have a mission on this earth. You're not stumbling through life. But if God calls you, you need to answer it so that you can hear what is it that God wants from you. That you can spend time with Him. That you can build a relationship with your Heavenly Father. So He says, whom shall I send? Who will pick up the call? Who will take responsibility? Who will just answer the phone call? Who will just listen to me? The Bible says, draw near to God, He will draw near to you as well. The invitation has already been given. And I said, I like the response of Isaiah. And I said, here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. Use me. Have you ever prayed that prayer? God, I might not have much. I might be in Kimberley and maybe a small little town in the Northern Cape in South Africa. But here I am, God. There's a whole world out there. Send me. Use me. It's not vain ambition to pray that prayer. Jabez prayed, he said, Lord, that my name, which means pain, that it will not follow me all the days of my life. Lord, enlarge my territory, enlarge my boundaries.
One thing that God wants to do is enlarge your vision. God, they could not enter the promised land because they had a small vision. But you're going to go places because you have a vision. You believe God is going to take you places. It's time the church dreams a little bigger. Take the call and say, here I am, God. Whatever you have for me, use me, God. Come on, bump your neighbor. Say, take the call. Answer the call. God is calling. I wish we could see somehow God's telephone logbook of his call register. You see, must call, must call, must call. He didn't pick up, she didn't pick up. They never picked up. They missed a call. They too busy. Caught up in themselves. Chasing stuff. Running after things. I wish we could see God's call register in heaven. How many times God has tried to speak to people, but people are just too busy. Busy, 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 busy. Your phone is ringing and you're like, ach, no, I don't have time now for the past. I don't have time for church. I don't have time for God. I've got an exam. I'm busy. Listen, we have to be a church. We have to be people who understand when God calls us, we say, here I am, Lord, use me. Have you ever prayed that prayer, Lord, here I am, use me? The New Living Translation says, then I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, here I am, Lord, send me. There are people that only you can talk with, that only God can use you to speak to those people. Because guess what? God has a plan for your life. There's a plan. Listen to this, Habakkuk 2 verse 3. We've been preaching about it a lot. That's why we've written our vision on the wall. And it says this. It says this. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will, there it is, wait. Because it will surely come to pass, it will not tarry. It's important to understand that there comes a time when God needs you. When God wants you to do something for Him. When we're waiting for everybody else. Who will go? Who's going to do it? You know, Peter asked God, Jesus walking down the boat, outside of the storm, on the river, on the sea. He says, Jesus, if it's you, command me to come out of my boat. So Jesus says, okay, come. Come. And he could have said, no, well, I'm not going to do that now. I'm going to miss the call. But he made a decision. He initiated, said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. Tell me to come. And he got out of the boat. All the others, they're still in the boat. It just took one person to get out of the boat. Psalm 105, verse 18 to 20. This is one of my favorite scriptures recently. The Bible speaks about Joseph. You can read Joseph in the book of Genesis. You can read it from verse 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. You can read the story of Joseph. How many of you heard of the story of Joseph? He had a dream. Say, God, here I am, use me. God gives him a dream. He shares it obviously with the wrong people, dream stealers. They got jealous, they got angry, they got bitter. So they tried to kill him, they throw him in the pit. We all know the story, right? He gets sold as a slave. Everything of the dream is contrary to his lifestyle. People are laughing at him. They throw him in the pit, they say, yeah, Joseph, oh, Joa. He was from the Northern Cape. Joa. How's it, Jay? Let's say, Jay, what's your dream now? Ha, ha, ha. You think we're going to bow at you? Ha, ha, ha. They mocked him. They laughed at him. They manipulated him. They threw him in the pit. Stole his coat that his father gave him. Ripped it off him. Dipped it in blood. Lied about him. Said he's dead. An animal killed him. Forgot about him. But God was busy working in his life. Sold out as a slave. Gets to a place, works his way up. But the Lord, the Bible says, but the Lord was with Joseph. God was with him. He had many times to quit, had many times to backslide. Part of his wife, I mean, he was quite a wealthy, influential man. He wouldn't have had, he had
obviously quite an attractive woman who was flirting with him. No one was there. He could have, hey, it's my lucky day. But no, he was a man of God. He said, how can I do this to my God? How can I mess up? My boss has entrusted me with your... He said, I can touch everything, but not his wife. Why would I touch his wife? Man of integrity, when no one was looking. The Lord was with Joseph. He was a man of conviction. He was a man of purity. Come on, ladies, be children of purity. Come on, gents, be a man of purity. Get rid of your cell phone nonsense. And get caught up in the stuff that everybody else is watching, everybody else is talking about. If you're going to smell like the world, run like the world, watch like the world, you're going to become the world. But if you want to run with God, you have to be separated. You have to be different. God has called you not to be snotty and better, but there's a higher standard that God calls you to walk, to be different, to be a man of purity, to be a woman of purity, to be a child of God. And he refuses to sell out. He refuses to bow his knee to this woman and submit to his emotions and his flesh. And he runs. Hey, hartloop, buddy. Hey, hartloop. Sometimes you just got to run. You got to run. There's certain temptations that you can't try and say, I'm gonna be bold and stuff. Just run from it. Just get out. Just get out of the place. You don't want to drink, but everybody's drinking. Don't say, I'm not going to drink. Just get out of the place. Leave that party. Delete that number. Get out. Hey, Leicester, get out. Run, man. Get out of that place. Get out of that place. There's nothing good is going to come from that environment. Get out of that environment. Get out of that bar. Get out of that pub. Get out of that nightclub. Everybody's snorting. Everybody's jumping around from relations. Get out of that circle group. You don't have to judge people. Just say, listen, I'm sorry, I can't come. Get out. Get out, because you got a call coming in the morning. You know, athletes are disciplined. They don't just party because they know the alarm is going to go off at 4 o'clock in the morning. They've got to put on their tackies and they've got to run. That's how Christians should be. I got a call coming in the morning. My Father's phoning me. He's going to speak to me. Open up your Bible and read God's Word. Be a man, a woman of God that's different. You don't just go with the flow. Take the call. Come on. God is calling and we're going to take the call. Amen. So Joseph gets falsely accused. And where does he end up? In the prison. Psalm 105, it's a great example. You can read the book of Acts, chapter 6 and 7. There's like a mini summary of the Bible. Stephen, the man who's being stoned to death, summarizes the whole Bible. Psalm 105 is another picture of the whole Bible, of the Old Testament. You can read it. It's like an executive summary. But Psalm 105 verse 18 says, they bruised his feet with shackles. His neck they put in irons. Okay? I didn't like this boy. Falsely accused. The devil doesn't like the assignment God has for you. The devil wants you to miss your call. The devil doesn't want you to be separated, anointed, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with fire, filled with passion. The devil wants you to just cop out, just be watered down, be like every other student on the campus, every other scholar in the school ground. The devil wants every young person, 85 and younger, to just be like everybody else. God has made you unique and fearfully wonderful. You are meant to stand out. You are meant to be an original. You are the OG. You are special. The Bible says you've been fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Look at your fingerprint, man. Say, hey, there's only one of these in the world. Value is determined by quantity and by demand. I am high in demand and there's only one of me. Hallelujah. And the world is going to pay for the gift that God has deposited in me in Jesus' name. And the world will receive it. When I say pay, I mean that you're valuable. Okay, sand is cheap because you can pick it up anywhere. Diamonds are expensive because there's not so many of them. There's one of you. I'm an original. So they, yes, Joseph, the Bible says they bruised his feet with shackles. What did he do? He had a dream from God. He just trusted God. He refused to bow his knee. He refused to quit. He kept on walking with God, and things got worse. Shame, man. They shackled his feet. Take these shackles off my feet so I can dance. They bruised his feet with shackles. I mean, they made it tight. And they put it around his neck. His neck was put in irons. Bondage. Because the devil doesn't want you to be free. The devil doesn't want your gift to live. And sometimes God allows it for us to, I don't know why, but for us to just trust in him. But the Lord was with Joseph. And even though his neck was in irons and his feet were bruised with shackles, doesn't matter what you're going through today. You may feel like there's this thing around your neck, there's this thing around your legs. You want to run, you want to do things for God, but there's this thing around you and you don't know what it is. But the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph was favored by God, even in prison. Even in the house of bondage, he started to run the prison. He had favor. Come on, dump your neighbor, say, I have God's favor on my life. It means wherever you find yourself, you may be in the smallest town in the Northern Cape. There's a town in the Northern Cape called Meer. Meer. I don't know if it's called Ant. There's small places in Kimberley. Listen, I was born in a town called Clainsia. It's a little bit bigger now. But the place is so clean. It was fenced. How's that? Humble beginnings. Where are you born? It doesn't matter where you're born. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. You may come from the smallest family. You may come from the weakest tribe. What matters is, what is the Lord with you? Is God in your life? They bruised his feet with shackles and his neck was put in iron. But God's word came to pass. Look at verse 19. Till what he foretold came to pass. Till the word of God that was spoken over Joseph came to pass. I said in Habakkuk 3 verse 4. Wait, it may take time, but it's going to come to pass. You're going to get your degree. You're going to qualify. You're going to get a job. You're going to become the man that God has called you to be. You become the woman God has called you to be. But you need the fire of the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, you're going to cop out. You're going to quit. You're going to give up. You're going to play the blame game. You're going to get taken out by the devil. It's time that you run for God and you take the phone call when he phones you. Till what he foretold came to pass. Till what God spoke about him. He's in chains. He's in there. Gets favor. And now he changes his attitude. He's in a prison. And what does he do? He starts walking with God. God starts to favor him. God starts to prosper him. He gets a promotion in prison. Until what God said came to pass. Until the word of the Lord proved him to be true. All the critics that laughed at him, old Joah in the pit. Ha ha, Joah. Well, guess who's laughing now? Guess who's laughing now? Until the Bible says, till the Lord proved him true. When others wrote him off, when other people mocked him, when others thought they were going to kill him, when they falsely lied about him. Listen, I want to tell you, when you walk with God, no weapon formed against you can prosper. If God meant for you to be in the prison, in the palace, God will take you to the palace. No man can stop your destiny. No man can derail you. Only you can derail you. Not even the devil can stop what God has for you. Only you can derail your plan. No man, no president, no government, no law can stop or limit the plan that God has for you. God is bigger than this world. He created the world. God is out of time, out of this world, orchestrating, mastering you the plan for your life. He saw what was going on in Joseph, and I'm sure he felt bad, but he knew he's going to have grit. He knew he was going to bounce back. He knew his end would be better than his beginning. The Bible says, hey, don't despise the day of humble beginnings. Some of you have had some bad start in life, and that's okay, because it's not how you start.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish. In the end, God's word proved him true. Say hallelujah. Bump your neighbor, say, take the call. It ain't over till God says it's over. Amen. The word of God will prove that you are true. Others may think you're crazy. Others may laugh. My family, not my mom and my dad, but my family. My aunts, my uncles, some of them, they laughed. They told my mom, don't worry, the boy's just, he's going through a phase, this Christian phase. He goes to church a lot now. My friend said, have you heard what happened with Brian? He's now this Christian. He goes to church. And the friends would say, oh, don't worry, it's a phase. It's a phase the boy's going through. He'll come out of it like puberty. He'll just grow out of it and he'll be normal like us. Don't worry, they told my mom. No, nothing could be further from the truth. We found Christ. We found the Messiah. We found Jesus. Him the Son sets free is free indeed. The shackles come off. The iron casts break off. He's a chain breaker. Jesus will break the power of sin over your life. He'll break the curse. He will drive demons out of your life. He will break things that have been spoken over your life. People may have said you're a nobody. You're going to amount to nothing. God takes that word and he cancels it. And he says you are going to be a somebody. There's greatness inside of you. I'm going to show off with your life. But you stay on the course. You keep on serving Jesus. If friends around you backslide, if this one says, Niemand is not to feel, I cannot to feel kerk on. We've had too much church. Let them go. You stand. You be the Joseph in your generation. You be the one that will not bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's not where you live. It's what you live for. It doesn't matter if you're born on the wrong side of the railway. It doesn't matter if you were born out of the poorest family. What matters, whose child are you? What does God say about you? The woman with the blood issue, if I can just touch Jesus, you can change the course of your history. You can rewrite certain things of your life. You have the pen. You determine the course of your life by embracing God's plan, making time for your Savior. Don't be a backslider. While you're waiting for the word to come to pass, no matter how bad things may have started, know that God's favor will get you the shackles off your feet. Doesn't matter where you find yourself today. There are many times you want to quit. We all want to quit, man. But anybody can quit. We're not quitters. One thing I've learned from Pastor, I'd get rid of the word I can't. Nothing is difficult. There's challenges, but take the word difficult out. Joseph served the wardens. He became a ruler. This tough season will make you the ruler and the overcomer. Verse 20, then the king sent and released him. The rulers of people set him free. There are people in this building tonight. If you will grab hold of God, he will take you places. You'll go to nations. You'll start businesses. You will finance the gospel. You will usher in a whole new sound. You will be a leader in your generation. You will be set apart. If you will run with God, if you will take the call and say, here I am, God. I'm serious. While others are playing games with their life, while others are flirting with the world, there are people here today. Maybe there's not many of you. Maybe there's just a few of you. But if you would take the call of God serious, God will take you places. You will go to nations that you can't even write down their name. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not even heard the things that God has in store for you. But he will reveal it to you by his Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Ghost. Listen, if there are five people here that say, here I am, God, use me. That's you five. Jump to your feet and say, God, here I am, use me. cry out to God. I'll take the call.
And just a side note, just a little note, not everybody is going to cheer you on. Don't let your fire be put out by their lukewarmness. Okay. You stay radical. They try to always, especially with my wife as well. People always want to put out the fire. Put you in a box. The Bible says the fear of man will put you in a snare, a box. You're different. Don't let the university lecturers come and tell you that there isn't a God, that the gospel isn't true. Don't let some lecturer come and lecture you with a lie from the pit of hell. There's one God, His name is Jesus. He's real. He's more real than the chair you sit on. You might not see the wind, but you can see the impact of the wind. Amen. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. The word of God came to pass. As I close, I want you to know this. There comes a time where you've been faithful. And God says, okay, now I'm going to release. God loves to have His quiver full of arrows. The Bible speaks about children. When you have kids one day, maybe you have kids already, maybe you have grandkids. The Bible says, blessed are those who have children. It's like he that has a quiver full of arrows. Quiver is a carrier of arrows. God likes to take arrows out, shoot people into their destiny. Shoot you, propel you. Sometimes you have to go in the opposite direction. But God, you said this about me. I know, relax. But God, you said this. Ready? God, what you doing? Aim. Fire. Bam. And you get accelerated, thrust into the plan God has for you. And no man can stop you. For if God is for you, who can be against you? Come on, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. Come on, young persons. How many of you are ready to make the Sunday evening service? Jan Kimley, come on. We only a few here tonight. Some of you weren't ready for this. You're going to come next Sunday. We're going to start seeing revival break out in our city. Because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Go to church on a Sunday. Some of you got to come twice. Some of you got to come in the morning. Some of you got to come in the evening again. He had the cloud in the day. And then he had the fire at night. God doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. The fire of God will get you forward. The evening services, God is gonna pray. God's gonna touch you. Gonna lay hands on some of you. Some of you have to be circumcised. Not with hands, but by the Spirit. Cut away the flesh. I spoke with a Christian this week recently. I didn't realize he comes from a Muslim background. You can sit. Then all of a sudden it made sense. Flesh, emotion, charity, good works, dead works. You don't serve God because you want to be a good person. You don't come to church because of charity. You don't give your money because of shame. It's help the church. You follow Jesus because you've been circumcised. The flesh has been cut away. And everything is real now. God's Spirit, flesh and blood doesn't reveal it to you like Jesus says. But my Father in heaven has revealed it to you. It's called revelation. Rhema. Openbaring. Rhema. You see things that other people don't see. You hear things that other people don't hear. Because you're led by the Spirit now. You move by faith. This is a kingdom. This is not a charity. Don't feel sorry for people. Love people, but be led by the Holy Ghost. Don't just give everything away. Be led by the Holy Ghost. When I spoke to him, I said, hey, you need to be baptized. As he's talking to me, the Holy Spirit shows me clearly he's not been baptized. I ask him, because I've learned sometimes I get it wrong. I wanted to say, you probably haven't been baptized. And I thought, no, let me not be arrogant. Let me stay dependent on the Holy Ghost. I asked him, can I ask you a question? Have you been baptized? Bam! Hit the nail on the head. So, Pastor, I haven't been baptized. Because and he shared so many reasons. So I said, then can I ask you, what's keeping you from being baptized in water? Jesus said, repent and be baptized. Go under the water. Sow the flesh, raise the spirit. I could see it clearly. The Holy Ghost showed me clearly. And he started to share. He was caught up in religion. Brought up in this false religion. Looked at other Christians that were religious. They have a form of godliness, but they have no power. They talk about church and they've got all these chains and all these outer stuff. And they do all things and they do rituals, but their lives are still a mess. You need to repent of that. You have to circumcise your heart, fully surrender to Jesus. And when you're ready to make that, you've got to jump in the water. You've got to be baptized. Lay down your life so God can raise you up. There are many of us here that need to repent and be baptized. Hallelujah. These evening services are going to be powerful. Some of you are struggling with thoughts, with battles that only God can break and deliver. Some of you are called to business. Some of you are called to the marketplace. Some of you are called to politics. Some of you are called to music. Some of you are called to sport. Some of you are called into the ministry. God gave this church a very strong promise that we will lend to many nations. We shall not borrow. What does that mean? It means that we are going to have to go places. We're going to have to do things outside of Kimberley. I know some of you haven't gone past Riverton. Some of you haven't been as far as Barkly West. Some of you haven't been past Douglas, Pampierstad. Some of you haven't left the borders of the Northern Cape. Well, guess what? God's going to take some of you places. If you'll commit to the Lord, commit to His plan for your life, you'll see you take your places. We shall lend to many nations. We shall not borrow. The church is no longer going to have debt. We had to make debt to finish this beautiful building. And by the way, just look at all the empty chairs. Do me a favor, just bump your neighbor. Ask them, do you see all the empty chairs? Do you see all the empty chairs? Tell your neighbor, they're not going to fall by themselves. You're going to have to invite somebody. This is our faith. This is our faith. To fill these chairs in Jesus' name. See multiple services in the morning. Say amen. To populate heaven, plunder hell. Hallelujah. Come on, we see a student block multiplying that we over there. And then we got to start eating the balconies. Come on, high school students, we need to multiply. We have to see more high school students come. All the high schools, boys are, girls are, dear Manfeld, Northern Cape, Ada Mancha. Come on, all the schools. Those are just the Kimberley schools. St. Boniface, how many other schools are there in the city? We need to bring them. Some of you need to pay for the buses to bus the young people in. Pastor, why don't we build many churches in the township and in the suburbs? Why don't we have smaller churches there? No, we want to get them out of the environment and bring them to one location to expose them to big things, for them to see that God has a plan with their life. That is why we built this building. For many of you, for many of your children. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We will see it come to pass. I believe it. Stay standing. Stay standing. We need to be mission-minded. Growing up, there was a cartoon. Some of you have seen it. They've revived this cartoon. It's called the Care Bears. Have you heard of the Care Bears? Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus cares about you. The Bible says, cast your cares on Him because He cares about you. But let me tell you something. In the church of Jesus Christ, the mission-minded church, the devil-stomping, blood-washed, spirit-filled, the church that were martyred Most of the disciples were killed for their faith. You go to China, you go to Nigeria, you want to be a Christian, you better be prepared to die for your faith. I'm not saying that we must be martyred. But some people get it wrong. They think the church is the Care Bears Club. We only have to care for you. We must care for you. But it's well beyond just caring for you. It's about getting you on an assignment. Some of you, if you just get busy with the things of God, those problems of yours will start to disappear. That depression will go off because you're so busy with God's plan. You've got so much time on your hands, you're looking for problems. You're looking for a new disease that you can call on your body because you're not busy with God's assignment. You won't find the Care Bears where the fire of God is burning. There's an assignment. Oh, but Pastor, I don't feel the love in the church. God loves you. We love you. If you're going through a battle, we will help you through. But then we're not going to camp there. We're going to help you get back. We'll send you to a hospital. Get that injured bullet out. Let's get you sewn up. Let's get the best doctor to help you. But then when you're better and you're strong, get back in the battlefield. Let's not rehearse. Let's not walk around and scared we're going to offend you. Get busy with the things of God. This is what you are called for. This is your assignment, to get busy with God's kingdom. It's a battle. It's a fight of the faith. Don't think the church isn't a place where, oh, I just want to feel loved. In God's presence, you will always feel loved. In this church, you will be part of the family of God. But if a pastor doesn't phone you every day and say, oh, shame, how are you? It's okay. You're going to make it. You'll be okay. This church is not just for people to be cuddled like little babies. This is a mission field. This is a base to raise up men and women of faith who will be sent out to have an impact, to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. That's why you have to take the call when God calls you. You have to answer it. Say, here I am, Lord, send me. While others are sleeping, while others are busy nursing their hurts and their pains, say, here I am, Lord, use me. Can you do that tonight? Can you honestly say, here I am, Lord, use me? Come on, put your hand on your heart. Say, Father, here I am, use me. Gebruik my. Use me. Use me. Don't pray that prayer for your children. Don't pray that prayer for your spouse. You have to pray it. You must pray it. And then your spouse will see, well, God is busy using you. I prayed for my mother till my mother started to see how God would use me as a young boy, as a 19-year-old, 20-year-old, lead people to Christ, baptize people. Then my mom said, well, if God can use my son, maybe he can use me. My mom got saved. Praise God. My mom comes to church. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody moving around. You're standing here today. You know God has a plan for your life. But if you're honest with yourself, you're not sure where you're going to end. God doesn't want you to go through life fearing death. God doesn't want you to worry about the future. God wants you to surrender your life. There must be a time in your life where you've accepted Jesus Christ, not the man upstairs. I'm not saying, do you go to church? I'm not saying, do you read your Bible? I'm not saying, do you call yourself a Christian? I'm asking, is there a day where you've accepted Jesus, where you have repented of your sins? You've acknowledged that you're a sinner and you need to be saved. Saved from yourself. Saved from sin. Sin will drag you down to hell. Hell was never created for man. It was created for Satan and his demons. But he tricked mankind in the Garden of Eden. So sin is a part of our nature. And if you don't deal with this thing, it's like if you have a sickness, a disease, if you don't deal with it, it's going to drag you down. You need help. God sent help. He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on a cross. He gave us the medicine. The medicine is the blood of Jesus. And if you would apply it to your life, like soap, like medicine, you will be healed. You will be washed. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that is you tonight, you say, I'm not saved. but I want to call on the Lord, then please, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying, why don't you slip up your hand, indicate to me, Brian, the pastor, say, include me in that prayer right now. Come on, slip up your hand. It doesn't matter who you are, but you know God is calling you to be saved. Run to Jesus. God has a great plan and a future for your life. Don't let your pride hold you back. Serve Him. He puts before us life and death. Come on, one last time. You haven't raised your hand. You know God is calling you. Thank you. Hands are going up. God bless you. Come on, one last time. You haven't raised your hand. Let me pray for you tonight. Maybe you once served God. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home. But if you're honest, you don't know if you, where you are. But tonight you're ready to make a fresh commitment. Then for those people, please, can you also raise your hands? While heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Right across this place. My left, my right, in the middle. Come on, you're not here by accident. You need to encounter a living God. Hallelujah. You can put down your hands. You can all look at me, please. Right across this place, there are many of you raised your hand. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing tonight. We're going to sing a great song, and then all of us are going to clap and make a noise. You're standing here today. You want to make right. You want to give your heart to Jesus. You want to leave this place knowing that you belong, that you are born again, you're a child of God, you're a Christian. Then allow me to pray with you. Allow me the privilege. So all you wonderful people that raised your hand, maybe you didn't raise your hand, I want to ask you to make your way to the nearest aisle. Meet me at the altar. It's not to embarrass you, but it's to pray with you. Just come. Just come. Let's cheer them on. Come on, there's more of you. Come, we'll wait for you. Amazing. Come, 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 come. Come on, God is calling you tonight to follow Him. Take the call. Antwoord. Antwoord your cell phone. Antwoord. God roep vir jou. God is calling you. God is calling you. Say, yes, Lord, here I am. Use me. Come, 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 come. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter your skin color, your age. It matters what God says about you. Come, 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 come. Listen, many of you in the auditorium that are not in front here, there's people that you are trusting, that you know, their life isn't right with Jesus. Pastor Andries, he said it today this morning. We shouldn't go to heaven and say, I hope I see that friend of mine. Has anybody seen him? He's in heaven. We shouldn't have that mindset. We should do everything that we can. While we live our life, while we build our careers, while we study, while we raise up children, while we do whatever we do, watch our rugby, watch our soccer, play our sport, do what we have to do in the hustle and bustle of life, let us connect our lives to a kingdom assignment. There are people that we have to pray for. There are people that we have to reach out to. So right now, I'm going to ask every person still in this auditorium, maybe every one of you in the front as well. There are people that you know, their life isn't right. That if they were to die, and it's not to play Lord and judge. God is the judge. But you just know, they're on a path of destruction. But God has brought them across your path for a reason. I want us to close our eyes, everybody, and to think of those people. And I want you right now in your own language, in your own words, because God listens to the prayers of His people. And I want us to right now, just softly, quietly, just pray. Father, I lift up John. I lift up my friend. I lift up my dad. He's not saved. Come on, just do it now. Just say, Father, I pray for an opportunity even this week to bring them to church, to let them hear the gospel. Come on, just take 1 minute. Just take a few seconds to just pray for them right now. Place faith. Pray a prayer of faith. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your prayer. Let God hear you tonight. Lift up that person. You're an intercessor. You're praying now for somebody else. Hallelujah. Now picture them coming. Picture them coming to the church or getting saved, wherever. They don't have to come to this church, but picture them getting saved in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now I want you to put your hands together and give all these wonderful people that came out today a big clap. They're clapping for you. We're clapping for you. I'm going to ask you to place your hand on your heart. Say this loud enough that you can hear your own words. Pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, this evening, I repent of all my sins and I acknowledge that I need a Savior. Jesus, I receive your forgiveness by faith in Jesus' name. I believe that you are the Son of God. You died on a cross for all my sins. You went to hell. You conquered the grave. And on the third day, the Father resurrected you. I put my trust and hope into your hands. From this day forward, I belong to you. I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.